This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
People have waited out in the freezing cold. Indeed, overnight we received reports of death by overexposure. As they wait for their besiegers to deign to give them license to depart.
That's U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Samantha Power speaking this week, outraged but commenting powerlessly on the final evacuation of civilians and opposition forces from Aleppo, Syria. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is back in control. The siege of Aleppo is over. And these most vulnerable evacuees become the latest flood of Syrian refugees into Turkey, bound for unknown new homes. The Russian-supported assault on Aleppo was ruthless, and the end result came at a huge cost. An indiscriminate and relentless bombing campaign that targeted civilians and medical facilities allegedly involved the use of cluster munitions and possibly chemical weapons. A meeting on Tuesday between Iranian, Russian, and Turkish defense ministers produced a joint declaration to find a solution in Syria, signifying something of a V for Victory Day for Aleppo and possibly the entire Syria crisis. And not even the assassination of Russia's ambassador to Turkey this week got in the way of those talks. Ambassador Ryan Crocker joins us now. He's a veteran of the Foreign Service, served 37 years there, former ambassador to Syria, Iraq, Pakistan, Kuwait, Afghanistan, and Lebanon. Ambassador Crocker, is this a V-Day for Syria, or are we seeing the partition of a country that was once among the most stable in the Middle East?
Thanks, John, for having me. We are seeing all of those things. It is a huge victory for Russia. They had a very poor hand going in. They played it brilliantly. We didn't even show up at the table. So that's why you see meetings on some kind of resolution here don't even include us.
And is that to say that we have just as limited a role in the ousting of ISIS as we do in the business of who's running Syria right now?
I think that's right, again, on both counts. This administration has checked out. It doesn't matter how many civilians get killed. It doesn't matter how many drown crossing the Mediterranean. This administration, and that definitely includes Samantha Power, don't care.
And what is the reason for this? Is it fatigue from the other wars? Is it Barack Obama just deciding to get out of town as soon as possible? It appears that at some point the U.S. just sort of faded out of any rational role in the Middle East on any level.
Well, that's exactly right, John. President Obama has checked out, and the rest of his staff, including Samantha Power, has checked out with him. We tell the Russians how evil and awful they are in Syria, yet every time another civilian strike takes place, John Kerry calls Minister Lavrov. So we go beyond, frankly, appeasement. We're complicit in what is happening in Aleppo.
When you say complicit, in the sense that we didn't fight back, or we're complicit in that we support the Russian victory of Bashar al-Assad?
I think it's more of the second, that we are totally fine with whatever the Russians decide to do, however many civilians they decide to kill. It's okay with us, because that's the signal all of these repetitive discussions with the Russians illustrates. So for Samantha Power to sit out there and say we are shocked, simply shocked, no, she's a little bit brighter than that. This is what we bought into.
Listen here to something that Vladimir Putin was saying back in April of this year. He was telling people, and it's through translation here, but he was telling people that it is in the interest of the Americans to understate the success of the Russians in Syria. And he was almost laughing as he spoke.
So however Western media would like to silence or downplay our success, this is frankly impossible. For some people, it is their job to underrate and underinform their audiences, readers, listeners.
They will complain, it's futile, he says, but the end result is just the same. Putin saw this coming months ago.
Yes, he did, and he helped arrange it months ago. And that is why I say that it's not like we didn't have forewarning. The Russians are not in Syria to make life better for Syrians. They are in Syria to support their guy, Bashar al-Assad, and they've done it brilliantly. And they have drug us right into it so that whether you're talking about strategic moves or humanitarian moves, we are part of the Russian playbook.
Now, thinking about the Trump administration incoming, who appears to have a degree of sympathy with Vladimir Putin, if not stylistically, then in policy terms, do you think the Trump administration is inclined to accept this victory of Bashar al-Assad and pursue a fundamentally different course in the Middle East?
Obviously, to be determined. Some of the president-elect's appointments sit very well with me, to make former Marine General Jim Mattis his Secretary of Defense. Well, they don't call Jim Mattis Mad Dog for nothing. He's a fighter. John Kelly, who's been tapped for Homeland Security, he's another fighter. So we'll see what they do. But there are some of these appointments that actually encourage me a bit.
Encourage you in terms of fighting Bashar al-Assad or fighting in the Middle East on the side of Russia?
John, here's the deal. We established the post-World War II international environment. The United Nations was created in San Francisco. The Bretton Woods Agreement were created in New Hampshire to establish the international financial order. That's the era we are in, but I am increasingly concerned that is also the era that President Obama is checking out of, and that Donald Trump will follow suit. They may be different on a lot of issues, but in terms of the United States playing a role in the region, they both checked out.
Well, that's really interesting. I don't know if you've been following the lobbying resume of Michael Flynn, who's Trump's designated national security advisor. He's written that the Erdogan government should be supported full force, that in fact, up to the extradition of Mr. Ghulam in Pennsylvania, that he would support an all-out, absolute capitulation with Erdogan's policies, both domestically and as regards Mr. Ghulam in Pennsylvania. What do you think the impact of that would be, and do you think it's likely to happen?
I don't think it's likely to happen. I do agree with General Flynn on the point that we need to be engaged with Turkey. They are a founding member of NATO, and what happens there affects everything. I have to say, though, that General Flynn as national security advisor compared to iconic folks like Brent Scowcroft, this isn't going to work very well.
Is that to say that a coherent policy on human rights and the, I guess, encouragement of progressive liberalism in the world is now really in the freezer, and that essentially there will be some other fundamental realpolitik pursuit of policy during the Trump administration? That's really all that's possible here, is finding the strong players and getting with them. And if you look at Trump's words, standing up to China.
John, you have absolutely nailed it. This is about the role the U.S. will play going forward. For 70 years, since the end of World War II, the U.S. has been front and center in the international order. Obviously, you can take issue with some of the stances we have taken, but we were always there. And here's the point of commonality. Obama does not want us to be there anymore. Let the rest of the world take care of its own affairs. And that is kind of a scary echoing the same things we hear from President-elect Trump. So, you know, we've got to decide as a country, do we want to support the international order that we created in 1945, Or do we just say, we're done here, y'all work out whatever you want? The second option is frankly, a terrifying one. We have seen what happens when the U.S. checks out. The worst refugee crisis since World War II, and we're not there. You know, we're not there for any of this. So if, as a nation, as a people, we want to back out of it, fine. Then show me what the alternatives are, because all I see now is more slaughter, more bloodshed, more chaos.
And personally, Ambassador Crocker, before we go, I mean, your 37 years of essentially keeping the United States engaged in this post-World War II order, if it crumbles right now, it makes your entire career look like a bunch of footnotes. How does that feel?
Well, one thing you learn pretty quickly in the business I'm in, the Foreign Service, is that we don't set policy. We let our elected leaders set policy. So while it hurts me deeply to see what is happening in an area I love, that's just part of the show. We implement policy. We don't make it.
Ambassador Ryan Crocker served 37 years in the Foreign Service, former ambassador to Pakistan, Kuwait, Afghanistan, and Lebanon. Currently executive professor at Texas A&M University. Thank you so much, Ambassador.
Thank you, Don.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.